Hello, everyone, and welcome. Pastor Deborah here. Welcome to another wonderful story about me, so I could learn how to help you. I didn't know who you were when I got started, and I had to learn. This is the School of Light, an educational series of videos. We are working through the wonderful, wonderful stories of my life that helped me to help you. And this is called The Kingdom of Agape Love, volume number one. It deals with love for you that I knew nothing about either. This is going to be story number eight, and it's called So Many Hands, Just So Many Hands. And I want to thank Pixabay for this wonderful motion video. This guy back here represents you. Before I could get to you, before Agape Love could touch you, that was you, the forever person, the spirit inside of a dirt body. It does not matter what planet you were on, what solar system or star galaxy you are from. If you have dirt and you are a humus from the dirt and you have been breathed in by the Spirit of God at one time, this is what you look like now. This was called a zombie, a walking dead. Your spirit is like that. It's alive, but it's dead. It doesn't even glow like this, but this was so you could see it, highlighted. And I, Pastor Deborah, had to see you in your dirt. See your forever person's condition. Because remember, I was going from being a licensed mental health counselor, helping you through the ways of psychiatry, psychology, medicine, illnesses and diseases. I was never reaching this guy. I never reached the spirit, never studied it, didn't even know what was there. All I was working with is the physical body and the soul, the mind, the emotions, your thinking of your soul. This was never taught. I never learned you were a spirit and you had a forever person in you. In the ways of the world, in the ways of mental health counseling. But I was trying so hard to help you. I had a love for you, even when I was young. I loved some of the strangest people, would go to the movies with them, be friends with them. And people would ask me, how could I do that? And I'd say, I just love them. And I needed help. I needed explanations. I needed guidance to get to you. So when I began my journey, probably back in 1994, when God had asked me, he really did? He took my job away as a private licensed counselor, made it so unbearable for me. I quit. I had no work, no identity. I had no job, no money, nothing to do. I became depressed. And sometimes that has to happen to you. What you are dependent on and your ways of thinking and doing to do something, he has to take away from you. So he did. I never was angry, but I was trying to help you. And boy, did I end up in a bad place. Unemployed. No professional identity. After I spent 5 or 6 years in college, 2 years of supervision by a psychologist, spent lots of money getting my state test. Had to take it a couple of times. Had to have malpractice insurance of $1 million. Had to have continuing education credits every year. And I put it down. It was taken away from me. God was beginning. He had to get me to a place where all I would do was seek him. And yet I still had the desire to help you. I didn't know you. I didn't know you were in there. I didn't know. So one day, back in 1995, on Father's Day, a young evangelist named Steve Hill gave a talk at a church in Pensacola, the Brownsville Assembly of God Church, where the pastor had also been teaching on revival. And he had thrown his keys down and said, there has to be more than having a big church, 1,000 members, being on TV. He was hearing from Steve Hill, who had been in Argentina, where a powerful revival had happened. He wanted more of God. And God started leading him and guiding him to a powerful prayer meeting with banners. And then preaching on revival, changing his service on Sunday night to Holy Communion. God was working in him and me and Steve Hill. And 6 weeks after the revival started, on Father's Day, 1995, I went. I had been out of the country on vacation for a couple of weeks, saw a newspaper article about this church. People laid out on the floor, God coming down his presence. And I was encouraged to go, and I went. And it changed my life. I have many of the videos on the YouTube channel you can watch free. It's out there. 99.9% of Christians back then and now have never, ever been involved or exposed to a part of something like this. I became a member of the prayer team, member of the deliverance team. I cast out devils. I didn't know what they were. Religion doesn't teach on those. But that was my beginning to learn how to help you the Lord's way. And I thought I was still supposed to be a licensed counselor, maybe a Christian counselor employed by the church. So I pursued that avenue. Looked good for a couple weeks. But there wasn't enough pastors and churches that wanted to pay my salary. So that fell through. So one Friday night when I'm at church and I'm told that that idea is not going to work out. It's a good one. Of course, it was mine, not his. Now I had nothing. No way to help you, no job, no money. And God asked me a question on a Friday night. He said, what are you going to do now? You're going to quit? Or are you going to step through those doors into the sanctuary and come after me? I had become so desperate at that time for God that I went after him. Oh, I was sad about not having a job. I didn't know that by making that choice at that moment, what it was going to do, that I would be here. And all these experiences and stories that you're going to hear came out of me walking through that door and going after God, even though I had nothing. And I would get nothing, no job, no title, no profession. But I was coming after God. And from there, God could help me and him, because I didn't know I was going to go to work for him. But here I am. So this story, number 8, out of volume 1 of The Kingdom of Agape Love, is going to tell you a wonderful story. I may have to do it in 2 parts. It's got a lot of scriptures, a lot to it. That after walking through that door on that Friday night, near the end of July, 1995, whatever would forever change my life and yours. That I didn't know. I didn't know it was the beginning of helping you the Lord's way. And that was you that I was going to be reaching. Going to help you, the spirit, the forever person inside of dirt. Now I'm reaching out to galaxies, faraway planets. And it began, I got thrown right into the deep end when I got started. So let's welcome everybody here to the garden today, to this wonderful video by Pixabay. And remember, I don't use a green screen. So if I'm fuzzy or you can't quite read the words clearly on the screen, just listen to my voice. I will also audio podcast this out to a podcast show, probably called The School of Light. And it's accessible on the website of agapeloveishere.org. And you can listen. I'm preparing for the day when I'm no longer on the planet, and the website will be gone, but the podcast shows will be up. The audios are free to download. You don't have to pay anything on the platforms I'm on. Also, YouTube will still be here, and I'll be teaching you long after I'm gone, and you'll be hearing about you, agape love, and a father that loves you. So welcome to you here in the garden of God's pleasure, his presence and delight, where he teaches us. He helps us to see into the realm of the spirit, where he is, where your forever person is also. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful video. Let this zombie-looking creature is what I had to learn to find and see and love them, those that you were going to send me to, those that you had died for on a cross, so that when they died, their spirit could return unto you, a new creature, a new child, into the kingdom of heaven. Father, thank you for bringing all of them here in your garden, where all their planets are, that you can be in their presence, can love on them. They can see a land and a kingdom and the living creatures that love them. They can be surrounded by love and peace and joy from you spiritually. Father, you know where their physical bodies are. I don't. Be about your work of fulfilling Isaiah 61 and 62. Your words of your heart, your desires, and prophetic words to them, the forever person. Father, fulfill a Hebrews 4:12 in their lives. A spiritual circumcision, where you free their spirit from the soul and its lust of its eyes, its lust of its flesh, and the pride of life. And when they return back into their dirt body, they become the king, the ruler of their soul, and they begin transforming their own soul into a mighty king, a child of you with the mind of Christ, the mind of the anointed Messiah. And they become one of your children of the kingdom of heaven. Father, help us every way you can. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, our spiritual teacher, that will be here today helping us in this story that you gave to me as I lived it and experienced it, called So Many Hands, Just So Many Hands. In the name of Christ Jesus, your Son, the anointed Messiah. Amen. All right, this story, number 8, So Many Hands, Just So Many Hands. It begins with scriptures, Matthew 9:37-38. Remember, I was starting from nowhere, and I had to understand God and his desires, what he was trying to do for you, through me, with me, so I could reach you for him. He was developing a partnership between me and him, way up there, so we could reach you in the realm of the spirit. So Matthew 9:37, the harvest, that's you, is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. Me, I became a laborer in a harvest, in a field of forever persons for God. Pray you, therefore, to the Lord of the harvest. You are his work. You are his desires. You are his harvest. He's trying to reap through a human, another, like Pastor Deborah, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I had to learn I was going into his work. It was not my vision, my ministry, my church, my work, what I thought was needed. It was strictly all his harvest. Was going to be you. This story begins in 1998. The Lord Most High God gave me an open vision of those who Christ Jesus spoke about in the scriptures of Matthew 25, 31 through 46. You. Yeah, this is who he was going to talk about in this scripture. These were the red words of Christ Jesus in the four Gospels himself. Verse 31. When the Son of Man, that was Christ, shall come in his glory. Later I learned when Pastor Deborah would come into my glory in the kingdom of heaven. And all of the holy angels with him. Then shall he sit upon his throne of glory. Now that's up in heaven. That's a future time. Verse 32. And before him shall be gathered all nations, people. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. This is done by the shepherd making a sound that the sheep know and follow. Goats have to be herded, not just follow a sound. So you learn right there. Some people follow God's voice. Pastor Deborah did. And others have to be herded and pushed. I had to be pushed a little bit at first, like when that job was taken away. And I was asked, are you going to keep coming after me or not? That's sort of a little herding push. And I made a decision. I'm coming after you, God. Verse number 33. And he, the Son of Man, Christ Jesus, shall set the sheep on his right hand, the ones who have heard his voice, and followed him. That's what I did that Friday night when I walked through those doors of the sanctuary of the Brownsville Assembly of God into the revival, into the presence of God. But the goats, he put on his left hand. Those who did not hear his voice, or if they heard it, they did not follow it. This is what most people do. Even in religion, they hear his voice in the pastor, the scriptures, but they don't do it. And they are usually very dependent on what the pastor preaches on, teaches. They usually don't read the Bible for themselves. And if they do, they say, well, that's not a part of my regular earthly life, my voting, my job, my family. That's just a private thought between me and God, but not has anything to do with my real life. Verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, come, you blessed of my Father. Remember, these were the ones that heard the voice and followed, like I did when I went through those doors that Friday night to go after God, no matter what. Who followed my voice? You who are spiritually blessed of the Father. You will inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I didn't know what that meant. What's a kingdom? I don't live in that. I live in a country with a government of democracy. I knew nothing of kings or kingdom. What do you mean the foundations of the world? I was so ignorant. I couldn't even help you because I didn't know what my blessings were. What was I to do? Inherit the kingdom? That wasn't talked about in mental health counseling. Of course, I don't know what he's talking about. He's talking about something that the religion did not talk about. verse 35. For I, the Son of Man, the King, was spiritually hungry for the agape love of the Heavenly Father and His truth. If you'll notice, I amplify out the word. I put the word spiritual in front. Because His words tell us later on, and He told this woman at a well in Samaria, this God is a spirit, and He's looking for our spirit to worship Him in spirit and in truth. That means knowledge, understanding who He is and who we are. It's not about the flesh. It's not what our soul does. It's our spirit. I was beginning to see, I'm going to help things in the spirit, I guess. Whatever that was. You have to understand my ignorance. Lack of knowledge. I didn't know anything. I wanted to help people. And I tried, but that didn't work out very well. And many of you have done the same thing. You want to make money, have a business, doesn't work. Yeah. Or you try something else. Maybe you're supposed to go to college, but you're not. And that doesn't work out. Don't get a job. We all have desires, but we're all going on wrong paths to get there because we don't know what this desire comes from. I didn't know why I wanted to help people and love some of the strangest ones of you, even the bad ones. I didn't know. The desire was just there. Was that a part of my soul? I don't know. Then I needed truth and information, guidance. I needed to follow somebody, and I began back here in this story. I was learning somebody was spiritually hungry for agape love. Well, I could see that a little bit. In the soul, people felt hopeless and not loved and not happy or joyful. I didn't know it was the love of God they were looking for. I didn't know about you back there. You, the forever person inside of dirt. I didn't know you were lacking truth. And no one gave you any truth to eat or to be nourished by. I didn't know you were a zombie. The living dead. Where were you? All I ever saw was a physical body. Heard words come out of your mouth. Was that you? You just have to understand my ignorance. But I finally got it. I, this Christ Jesus was saying, who He regards Himself as one of us, because He came as one of us. He says, I was spiritually thirsty. And you gave me no spiritual drink, the living spiritual water of the Word of God. He's saying, I so feel like one of you. I came one of you. I was with you. And I'm telling you about yourself through me. Christ Jesus is telling us. I was a spiritual stranger to the house, the family of the Heavenly Father. I was orphaned, abandoned spiritually. What do you think this guy is? He an orphan? Who's his mama? Who's his papa? Death? If you ever watch any zombie movies, they might go in a herd, but they're kind of all alone. They're all a mess. We know that. And you spiritually took me not into the family of the Heavenly Father. You didn't help me to become born again. I learned that many people don't help you. They don't give altar calls on their videos. They talk to people like they're all already saved. They just preach to the choir, what it's called. But not to you, the one that's from another galaxy, another planet, another star system. You, maybe of another religion, you that's not born again yet is who this Christ Jesus was talking about. You, who he labeled a goat or a sheep that didn't really hear his words. Verse number 36. He goes, I was spiritually naked and clothed with only animal skins and demons, he says, clothes of shame and guilt, dishonor, defilement, death. And you spiritually were clothed, he says, the least of my spiritual brethren that way. I was spiritually sick, he says. I understood your diseases, illnesses. You were dead, but you were alive. I understood that in my spiritual body, in my heart and mind. And you didn't visit me spiritually. Many people, preachers and teachers and religious leaders, when they talk to us, they don't visit us spiritually. They are only in religion. And nothing reaches our spirit. I was in a spiritual prison, a zombie, so to speak. Death was ruling me. Ignorance, blindness, deafness, dumbness, pain, torture, hunger, thirst. And you came unto me, not in my spiritual prison. Yet he says the goats did this, but the sheep did all he was seeking, gave us food and drink, came to us in our spiritual condition. So in these scriptures, he was saying there was two kinds of people doing two kinds of things for our forever person. Some were feeding it, nurturing it, speaking words of love to it, bringing it back to the family. He said that was the sheep. Others were like the goat. They weren't doing that. They weren't helping you, the forever person. Verse 37. Then shall the spiritually righteous, those that he considers sheep, those that have followed his voice, done what he's asked, done it his way, reached out to you spiritually in your horrible condition. He says these righteous ones will answer him, this Son of God, this Christ sitting on his throne, saying to him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or spiritually thirsty and gave you spiritual water to drink? It was a good question to ask. They said, we didn't see you. We saw a baby, a child, an elderly person, a dog, a cat. We didn't see you. That's not what you look like. So how could we feed you or give you water to drink? Even though the sheep do things, the righteous ones, they didn't understand what they were doing or how God, this Christ, so looked at us and said, I became one of you. That's my brethren. Verse 38. These righteous ones, these sheep continued, when did we see you a spiritual stranger in the house and the family of the Heavenly Father and took you in by helping you to become born again in the family of God? When did we see you an orphan, not a part of the family? Or when did we see you spiritually naked, without the spiritual robe, a spiritual righteousness? And then we spiritually put clothes on you. Good questions. I was starting to see there was things about eating and drinking and clothes that something this spiritual being, this stranger. God said, I was like him. I'm in him. But you didn't attend to me in him. You let him, the forever person, be hungry, thirsty, wearing no clothes of righteousness. You let him be a prisoner. You didn't help him escape. You left him in his condition, out of the family, a zombie, a dead living thing. Verse 39. And the righteous went on and said, but Lord, when did we see you spiritually sick? In your spiritual body, or in your heart or your mind, or in a spiritual prison of darkness and ignorance and confusion like this guy, to the fear of death and spiritually come unto you. When did we do that? You can do things in ignorance and it be the right thing. And you can do things in ignorance and it be the wrong thing. They were asking, oh, we don't understand what you're saying. How did we do this to you? You've always been Son of God, they say. You've always been right with God. You've always been in the family. You've never been a walking dead. You've never been sick, ill, twisted. You've never had shame and dishonor. How can you say that we didn't attend to you? That you were thirsty and hungry, and we didn't feed you. We are confused as the righteous sheep on your right hand. We are confused. So was I. Verse 40. And the king, the Son of Man, Christ Jesus, shall answer these sheep and say unto them, truly I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done these things unto one of the spiritually least of these, those who are spiritually hungry for living water, nourishment, and are spiritual orphans and strangers to the house of the Heavenly Father, who are spiritually naked because they are without the robe of white and glorious righteousness of spiritual salvation through me, Christ Jesus. When they are spiritually sick in spiritual body and mind and in a spiritual prison of ignorance, darkness, and a slave to the fear of death, you, my spiritual brethren, when you do this to others, you have done it, all these things, to me. By serving others, we serve him. If you can see him, even in unbelievers, in others that are hateful, harmful, wicked, do wicked things, he's saying they only do that because they are out of the family. They are walking zombies. And you didn't attend to them spiritually. Proverbs 14:31 helps us a little more to understand my training through the Word of God, how God would help me to understand how to help you, the forever person, who I knew nothing about, and I had no idea what I was to be doing to help you. First, I had to see your condition. You were sick and hungry. You were an orphan. You were covered in shame and death. You were a walking dead, a zombie. And God was helping me to learn about you through scriptures. Proverbs 14:31, out of the Authorized King James Bible. Verse 31. He that spiritually oppresses the spiritually poor, that's you, the forever person, those who the king just spoke about, reproaches causes discredit, dishonor, displeasure, disgrace to the king. If you're a religious leader and you think you're helping people and you're not reaching the forever person and you're not feeding them words of truth and light, bringing them into a new birth to be born again to the family of God, if you're not reaching them with water, words of spirit, hope and life and love, then he says you bring dishonor, displeasure, disgrace to him, the king, to Christ. He that oppresses the spiritually poor brings reproach, shame to the heavenly maker, the Father, the Creator, the Savior, the Lord, God, who loves them. Oh, he doesn't love them this way. He has to birth them anew out of this. This has to die, and it does when it believes in Christ Jesus. It goes to the cross inside of Christ Jesus. It goes into hell and pays the debt. But out of that belief, even just on the name, births a new creature of light. Mm-hmm. A baby. But he, the spiritual man, who spiritually honors him, the Maker and the Lord and the Creator, the Heavenly Father, the King, has spiritual mercy, compassion, love, grace, goodwill on these, the spiritually poor, these that are spoken of that need spiritual help. This is every human trafficker. This is everyone who's been human trafficked, every child pornographer, the people behind the cameras, the children, the child abusers, the murderers, the politicians, the leaders, business owners who serve greed, money, the corrupt lawyers and politicians who lie. That's them, their spirit. I have to love them. I was beginning to see you, who you were, where you were, through scriptures. As I slowly would write these, read them over and over, I was learning about your condition. None of this was talked about in mental health counseling, in psychology or medicine. None of this was talked about. Mm-hmm. Now let's go back to Matthew 25:31-46. We're still working with the sheep and the goats. Verse 41. Then shall he, the king, the Son of Man, shall say also to them on his left hand, those are the goats, those who did not follow the sound or the voice or the leading or the guidance of the king, the word of God, the voice of the heavenly Father, the goats. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. That's the lake of fire coming. The second death for our spirits that has been spiritually prepared for the devil, for Satan, and his angels and demons. That's not a good place for a goat to go. Another human spirit like this guy, who does not do the work towards other people like God desires. He hears it, but he doesn't do it. Now, that doesn't mean if you're asked by God to spiritually help people like I am. Now, I have tried to give earthly things, but I'm not called to do that. I'm working to reach you back there. Other people may be called to give money, food, clothes, books, Bibles. I don't have the money. I don't sell anything. I don't do anything but make a video and teach and give altar calls. Get you born again. I minister the word to your spirit. So he is saying a lot of people know what they're to do and they don't do it, or they don't hear him. And he says, depart from me into everlasting fire. Not a pretty place to end up after your dirt body's dead or blown up, you die of sickness and disease, this guy lives on. We hear about it through near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences. Oh yeah, we're all moving. We all have a spirit. Verse 42. For I, the Son of Man, was spiritually hungry for the agape love of the Heavenly Father and His truth, and you gave me none of His spiritual meat. Who's He talking to? He's talking to this guy who's hungry. And those who are born again, His children, and they don't follow Him. I'll give you a great example of what that looks like. If you're one of His children and you believe in Christ Jesus, you celebrate His birth and resurrection. Don't have to go to church, but you believe in Him, maybe as a child. And then you vote for abortion. That is not doing what God wants you to do. That's not a life-giving spirit. That is death, bringing death to another. Or He tells you don't lie and you lie. He tells you be honest and truthful and you cheat on your taxes. Or you steal money from a business, but you believe in God. Maybe you make the sign of the cross. And you vote for abortion. You support it. That's a goat. Maybe you lie, cheat, and steal to become a president, business owner. Maybe all you care about is money and power, and you kill anybody, child, infant, you'll sell them, traffic them. All you a goat. Even if you make the sign of the cross. That's right. So He is saying, depart from me, you who worship other gods. Maybe you worship saints or a mother. Maybe you bow down to statues or animals. Maybe you worship your democracy, your constitution, your nation, your government, even though you put your hand on the Holy Bible. Maybe you go to church and you think you're wonderful because you give money. The mafia was like that here in America. Most of them were Catholics, and they would give lots of money to the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church let them keep having communion, baptizing their babies, just look the other way, because the church wanted money. And these people didn't want to go to hell, but they didn't live a life of righteousness. Those are the goats. So He is saying, you didn't do any of this for me. I was spiritually thirsty for the living water. And you gave me no spiritual water to drink, the eternal life of God Himself. Verse 43. I was a spiritual stranger, an orphan in the family, the house of the Heavenly Father. I wasn't born again yet. And you took me not into His family. You didn't offer me a way to get born again as a new creature that had never existed before. You didn't tell me about His agape love and salvation. I see many pastors call themselves evangelists, and they never give an altar call for salvation or even for believers to get out of their sin. They just want to be preachers. And then most people, they just preach. And they yell and they get loud and they offer no love, no hope. They don't know about the realm of the spirit, that somebody could be there waiting to hear about the love of God. I used to pray with physical bodies, and inside of them would be many other human spirits out of witchcraft and the occult. You'll hear about that in other stories. They all could feel the presence of God through one body. I had group conversations on the phone through one body. I had to learn about a life where the Mr. Zombie and Miss Zombie lived. You, the goat, you never told me about the love of God. And you never brought me the spiritual clothes of righteousness to put on. You never talked to me about myself of Isaiah 61. and the plans and the hearts and the prophetic words for me from Isaiah 61 and 62. You never offered me a spiritual circumcision out of the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life of my soul. You never told me that I was supposed to be a king, the ruler of my kingdom of spirit, soul, and body. You never told me that I could be changed. I didn't have to be a zombie anymore, dead, but alive. I was spiritually sick in spiritual body. And in my heart and mind and soul, and you spiritually did not bring spiritual healing to me. You didn't pray for me. Your words didn't touch me. Now, I was in a spiritual prison of darkness and ignorance and lived in the fear of death. And you did not come to me to free me from the spiritual prison of slavery. You think this guy is free? He's enslaved to death. This is all he can do. He can't think and help other people. He's all alone. I had to find you out there. God was showing me through scriptures what he desires for you. And he was telling me there was two kinds of people, sheep and goats, both believers, one doing the work, one not. You did not come to me, and you did not free me from this spiritual prison of slavery and to sin and death. For you did not visit me spiritually. Many times later on, I would go into their spiritual captivity. I went into their trances to find them, their dreams, their made-up worlds, to talk to them. I went to their meetings of witches and the occult. I went to them and told them God loves them and helped them to be free. At this time, all I knew was I was to help somebody. And then I was slowly hearing, there's a lot of you. But these scriptures were helping me to see what was to be expected of me if I want to be blessed of the Lord. Verse 44. Then shall they, these guys, these spiritual ones, these sheep, and the goats, answer him, the king, the son of man, saying, Lord, when did we see you spiritually hungry for food, or thirsty for water, or a stranger, and we did not invite you into our house, or that you were naked or sick or in prison? We didn't see you, the goats will say. And we didn't minister to you? We're confused. Verse 45. Then shall he, the Son of Man, the King, answer them, saying, truly I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it, these things, not, this is the goats he's talking to one of these, the least of these, my spiritual brethren, you did it not, these things, unto me. Christ Jesus, the King, says, I so relate to them. They are my brethren, my family, my brothers and sisters. I am them. I am lost, hungry and thirsty. And you goats, you knew you should do this, and you didn't. You know how many pastors, teachers, and prophets he considers to be goats? Oh, you might be a religious leader of another religion. You're just a zombie. You can't even love people of your own family, your own culture, your own nation, or others. You don't want freedom for anybody. You don't have any control over yourself. And what you're feeding them is diseased, foul, hateful stuff. But I had to learn, even inside the worst person, with the most hate in them, disregard for life, a murderer, an abuser, a hater, I had to love their forever person. I was beginning to see there was somebody in there beyond what I heard and could physically see. I was beginning to see the hands. Just so many hands. Verse 46. And these, the guys who did not have mercy or compassion on the least of the king's brethren. We see this played out through a wonderful lady named Mother Teresa. She was a Catholic. She went into India, I think Bombay. She would pick up people from the streets who were dying and sick, bring them into some building, bathe them, give them water and food, smile at them, touch them gently. She didn't try to convert them. But what she said, when she looked in their eyes, all she could see was her Christ Jesus that she needed to attend to, wash his feet, care for him. She saw the pattern of these scriptures. She saw the connection of Christ in humanity, in the spirit. All the people of Bombay rose up against her, thought she was trying to convert them to Catholic. And she wasn't. She was just loving them. She held them in her arms. She smiled, looked in their eyes as they were dying. She fed them, washed their bodies that was full of dirt, and said, God loves you. And they would die believing in this love. She was an excellent example of a sheep, seeing Christ in others. And she was attending to Christ and his needs. You go study Mother Teresa and what she said about that. Verse 46, and these, the guys who did not have mercy or compassion on the least of the king's spiritual brethren shall go away unto everlasting punishment into the lake of fire. But the righteous ones, those who did these things, unto life eternal. Another scripture that helped me to see you, to locate you, was Daniel 12, 2 through 3. Verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth. This guy is sleeping in the earth, his physical body. He's not alive in there. These human spirits, forever persons, they are still dead in their sins. But they shall awake and come back to life unto God, the Heavenly Father. Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. My heart was breaking. Some of these would go into everlasting contempt in this condition, because it was an evil, wicked, dead, twisted, perverted condition of their forever person. Verse 3, and they that be wise, teachers, shall shine as the spiritual brightness of the firmament of heaven. when you're a teacher, not a prophet, not a preacher. A preacher just proclaims the word. God is good. That's a preacher. But a teacher says, let's look at the word God, G-O-D. Let's understand that word. Let's look at the word good, G-O-O-D. Let's look. Let's study. Let's take tests. That's a difference between a preacher and a teacher. And they that be wise, teachers. Pastor Deborah was becoming a teacher. Didn't know it at the time. Shall shine in the spiritual brightness of the firmament and the heaven. And they that turn many to spiritual righteousness as the stars forever and ever. My job in helping you was to turn you, help you understand, turn you into the light of righteousness, help you get born again, teach you as a newborn child, love on you, even in this condition, as a zombie. I went to another scripture, Proverbs 4, 18 through 19. This was how God taught me. Follow the scripture reference up. Look up the words. I used the Strong's Concordance and the Webster's Dictionary. And I read. I asked God, show me what this means. Break it out. Amplify it. So off to Proverbs, who was written by King Solomon, a wise king, and his wisdom came from God. Verse 18, but the path of the just, the righteous, is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. I was to be a shining light, that through my words, through my spirit, I could reach you. I was learning that the forever person needed help, and it would be my forever person that would help. Verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness and ignorance. This guy, they know not at what they stumble. They do not know what caused them to be this way. They don't know anything. They just stumble and walk blindly. As a dead thing, a zombie. And to help me even see this further, I was given a spiritual vision. And I still see it and hear it today. And the silent cries of precious spiritual children, the human spirit in the kingdom of darkness, the spiritually least of Jesus Christ, brethren. And family, his brothers and sisters. I still hear their cries. Precious, precious spiritual beings as this man. Children trapped in flames and darkness and death. Tortured in their spiritual hearts and minds. And their souls are diseased with mental health issues. Their bodies giving way to diseases and illnesses. Fear of death rules them. Hopelessness, lack of happiness. They are dead, but they're alive. They are living, but dead. Spiritually living in trances to survive the horror, the abuse. They're numb, yet somehow feeling and desiring something they know not. They're programmed, mind-controlled slaves. Their spiritual hearts and minds and souls are addicted to drugs, to the lust of the flesh, to sexual pleasures, to money and power, to lies and corruption. Spiritual lives so abused that their spiritual heart and mind cannot stay whole, but creates others to be awake while the spiritual heart and mind spiritually runs to a created safe place, to hide. Lives unseen, unheard by their spiritual brethren. The spiritual vision is always the same, one of light and dark. And I want to end this part of the story here. You are beginning to see that to help people the Lord's way, you must have lots of scriptures, understanding of the word from his perspective. You must understand when he looks at a forever person, what he's thinking, seeing, desiring. You must know Isaiah 61, 62. You must know about it, Hebrews 4:12, a spiritual circumcision. You must know about an everlasting covenant to his children who have been lost, taken captive in a faraway land, the kingdom of darkness. They're ruled by Satan, twisted and perverted, dead, living in fear, hopelessness, no strength. They only serve their master, Satan, and his demons. The demons have taken over their mind, live their lives through their body, make decisions. They're on the computers. Yes. And I was beginning to learn about you, where you were. Still didn't have the great intensity yet of you. I hadn't heard your voice yet. I didn't know you. All I knew was God cared for you, somebody in a dirt body. And he would use movies, stories like Mother Teresa to help me understand. That's right. He would show me. I just watched it again on a movie called Han Solo, The Beginning. How your life may start off bad, but because of love for others and injustice, you become a good guy to help others fight back. Oh, our lives takes twists and turns, but I was going on a path I'd never been on. I was in education, graduate level. I was learning about you, the forever person, the spirit, that part of you that upon your earthly death, when your dirt gives way to death, that part of you that lives on. I was learning from the words of God himself, from King Jesus, about your condition and how he so looks at you as himself. And you are his brethren, his family. And he's telling me about you through these scriptures. And then to help me, he gave me a vision. And we'll get into that vision in the next part of this story. But right now, I want to offer you living water, a new robe, a new life, if you will accept just his love for you, that he loves you, he wants to help you. He knows your condition. King Jesus is here to bring you home into the family. Yes, he is the Son of the living God. Yes, he did go to the cross, and he died for you to make a bridge, pay the punishment we all owed for sins we did not know about. Yes, he rose from the grave. He is alive now. We learned that. He sits on a throne high up in the heavens, and he will judge us on what we do to help you. Please accept his offer, his gift. It's free. It's for your forever person to be born again into a new creature, a child of the light, a child of the family of God, no longer an orphan. Then people like Pastor Deborah and the Word of God will come along. We will nurse you. We will look in your eyes as Mother Teresa did and love you. We will speak words of love to you. We will nurture you and help you grow as a baby in the Lord. You'll have teachers and tutors along the way. We want you out of death. no longer a zombie, a living dead thing, but a new creature of the light, of truth and spirit. So accept his gift. Come out of this condition. Come out into his family. It's here. Just say yes. It's done. You don't have to do the work. It'll be done for you. And this will go away, fade off into the sea of forgetfulness, and a new you, a baby you, will be born again out of the womb of the spirit. You'll have lots of help. So come, drink, eat, and feel the love of God. Come out of your prison. The door's opened. Come out wherever you are. Come into life. Come out from death, slavery, captivity to sin. Come out into the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven as a child of the Most High God. Come out. We're all here waiting for you. We want to welcome you. Put the robe of righteousness on you. All your shame and guilt and hopelessness will go away. You will feel the love of God that you have never felt before. You'll feel alive. You'll have hope for a future. Even if your earthly body is destroyed through any means, you will know you are an eternal living child of the Most High God. You are Christ Jesus, brethren. No longer an orphan, sick or diseased, full of shame and dishonor, but a new creature in God, in the light. Welcome home, if that's you. Then he'll give you the Hebrews 4:12. He'll start teaching you Isaiah 61:62, and about the love of God. Slowly you'll learn about being a king of the kingdom, a teacher. And you'll be sent an apostle back to wherever you're from to help others. New ones are being born every day. The next generation is out there. They're already zombies when they're born. And you can be about becoming a sheep, helping God in his harvest as a laborer. In the name of Christ Jesus, all that desire it, it's done. And welcome home to the family. Father, be about your work. This is your teaching. This is your heart. Set these captives free. Bring them into the family as their heart desires. Father, set them in a mighty place to be nurtured, cared for, fed, and watered. Let them know that they're no longer an orphan or alone. All that controlled them by Satan is broken and dead in their life. Help him, Father, along this journey as a new creature of the light. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen. Okay, I'll see you in part two of this story. So many hands. Just so many hands. Bye.